Earlier today, U.S. Army Specialist Jeremy Sivits became the first U.S. soldier to be court-martialed in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal. In a makeshift courtroom in the Baghdad Convention Center, Sivits pleaded guilty to charges relating to the mistreatment of Iraqi prisoners and was sentenced to the maximum penalty, 1 year in prison, reduction in rank, and a bad conduct discharge. Sivits took one of the now infamous photographs showing a pile of hooded inmates lying on the floor while another guard pretended to punch one in the head. U.S. military officials say that Sivits agreed to testify in other cases in the Abu Ghraib scandal as part of a plea agreement. Joining us now by phone from his office in Washington is Eugene Fidel, president of the National Institute of Military Justice. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Neil.
Good to talk to you again.
Pleasure.
According to some of the reports we've read, this sentence was harsher than expected. Would you agree?
No, I think anybody who expected a dramatically or substantially lower punishment was kidding themselves.
Well, Sivits apparently begged the judge to allow him to remain in the military. Is that out of the question for him now?
As a practical matter, I would say so, assuming the conviction is upheld. Even though it's a guilty plea, it will get reviewed by higher authorities within the military justice system.
Now, today's proceedings were described as a special court-martial. What does that mean?
Special and general courts-martial are the two major kinds of courts-martial. A special court-martial can impose no more than 1 year's confinement and a bad conduct discharge. A general court-martial is sort of the felony court and can impose any punishment authorized by the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which goes all the way up to the death penalty in some cases.
Now, all of this happened fairly quickly, at least quickly in terms of since the scandal erupted. Is that typical for a military court-martial?
This did seem to move along at a pretty brisk pace, but they do try. That's one of the purposes of the military justice system, to try to move things quickly, to return the witnesses and everybody else to their normal duties. On the other hand, I must say this thing did seem to move along faster than many cases I've seen.
If we were told, the prosecution counsel said today that a pretrial plea bargain agreement had been reached, yet nevertheless, Sivits got the maximum penalty this court is, you just said, allowed to give. Where's the plea bargain?
The plea bargain, unfortunately, that hasn't circulated in hard copy yet, so we can only sort of guess at it. But my own speculation would be the plea bargain is the very fact that the case was sent to a special court-martial rather than a general court-martial, because doing so had the effect of reducing the ceiling of the punishment that Specialist Sivits was subjected to.
Other defendants in this case, and again, these are all thus far guards at Abu Ghraib prison, they're expected to claim they were following orders. Have you read anything in today's proceedings that could help or harm that defense strategy?
Well, certainly not with respect to orders. I don't think there was anything in the, at least in the reported proceedings, that suggested some new ammunition was going to be provided. I think those people who are claiming orders are going to have their work cut out for themselves. They're going to have to show that there was an order rather than a kind of environment. I mean, there is a difference. And also that the order was not one that was patently unlawful. And, you know, some of the allegations here would certainly raise a question as to whether it was patently unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being a little guarded because I don't want to prejudice the administration of justice, but, you know, those are going to be battle lines.
And the obvious battle line at the moment is the chain of command. In other words, how far up does this go? Did we learn any more about that today?
No, not really. And what I think is important for people to understand is there may be a point at which the military justice responsibility or accountability ends and political accountability begins. In other words, there may be people who have been derelict, let's say, in negligently supervising those subject to their command. And that is a punishable offense if it's dereliction on the part of a uniformed officer. Above that, you may have a different kind of accountability that's really more political accountability, and that's the responsibility of the senior officials of the Department of Defense as well as the Armed Services Committees on the Hill.
Briefly, international human rights groups complained they were not admitted to the court-martial today. Would it be unusual to have them there?
Well, international human rights groups, I think, are more likely to be banging on the door in Peru or Colombia than they are on a U.S. Courtroom door. I was disturbed to know that arrangements hadn't been made to allow those organizations to participate, just to have third-party witnesses. I think spectators play a very, very important role In any courtroom proceeding. I think they bring out the best in all the participants. Not to say that the media don't play that role as well, but I think it is desirable to have spectators, even people who have no particular portfolio, the sort of court watchers that you find in any of the great metropolitan areas. People just hang around the courthouse. It's an important function.
Eugene Fidel, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Neil.
Gene Fidel is president of the National Institute of Military Justice. He joined us by phone from his office here in Washington. I'm also in Washington. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.